Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, our lesson today will be found in the closing section of chapter 8, the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, and we hope to cover from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. But before we read from the Scriptures, let us bow for prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we turn to Thee. We're just about to read from the Holy Scriptures. We think of this portion of Thy Word that's before us today for consideration. We ask that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou shalt help us not only to make the lesson known to every listener, but grant that each one may have the capacity to take in the message and to adjust accordingly. O God, we do ask that if any be listening to this broadcast today, who are still strangers to Thee and to Thy grace, that this may be the day, the outstanding day in their life's history, when they'll turn to Thee, the living God. Then be pleased to give a blessing to all Thy children, wherever they are, as we ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now, in the section under consideration today, I want you very specially to note one little word. It is the word if. Now, keep in mind that in verse 12 of this chapter, the Lord Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. And now, in this latter portion of chapter 8, He demonstrates His ability to expose the darkness of unbelief as it exists in the hearts of religious pretenders. And He reveals the depravity of the sinful heart. Now I suggest, therefore, it will prove very interesting and instructive to mark each time in this section where this little word if occurs. And let us search the truth connected therewith. Look first of all then, and we'll read from verse 31 to verse 35. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Now let us pause there for a moment or two and examine this first if, found in verse 31. If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Here is the if of true discipleship. What does the true disciple do? He continues. What the true disciple knows, he knows the truth. What the true disciple enjoys, he enjoys freedom. These are the three things that are associated with true discipleship. So after all, discipleship does not necessarily go with what a man says. You see, a man's profession may be one thing, and yet his life may be another. If the manner of life does not correspond with the confession of the lips, then there's something wrong. A man may be professing, as it were, to be the disciple of Christ, but the Lord here puts the acid test of true discipleship. He said, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Do you remember, a few lessons back, we pointed out this, that one day some of them who profess to be his followers, who profess to be his disciples, they couldn't understand the truth he was making known to them, or at least if they understood it, it was too much for them, it was too hard for them. And many of those who professed to be following him went back and walked no more with him. Then he turned to the 12 and he said, "Will ye also go away?" So it's obvious that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here in his lifetime, there were many people who at different times professed to believe in him. They professed to be his followers, his disciples, and then they went back. The Lord Jesus Christ was never deceived by any of them. He makes the truth known here. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. After all is said and done, a disciple is a learner. And where there is a learner, there must be a teacher. It's no use a man professing to be a learner if he's not going to accept the teaching that comes from his teacher. So there were those who, in effect, said, "We are disciples of Jesus. We are learning from him." "All right," said the Lord, "you will be my disciples. You will be true disciples if you continue in my word." It's not just a matter of learning the things that he says and being able to repeat the instruction that he gives. A man may be able to repeat the Ten Commandments, or he may go further than that. He may be able to recite the Sermon on the Mount, or he may be able to recite many of the verses of the words of the Lord Jesus. That doesn't make him one of his disciples. He said, "If you continue in my word." And so it's the continuance of the life that's directed by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that marks a man out as being a true disciple. First of all, then, he continues. But then he knows something, and this disciple knows the truth. And he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That is, if you continue in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, then ye shall know the truth. You'll know it not only in theory, you'll know it experimentally. And the truth shall make you free. So not only does he know the truth, but he enjoys freedom. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ made this known and put the acid test to them, there's a certain reaction that comes from those that listen to him. And in the reaction, this is what they said. They said, "Don't you realize that we are Abraham's seed? We never were in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" In plain words, they were seeking to claim this, that because they had descended from Abraham, they were not in bondage. How stupid can people become? Or how blinded can they be? See, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light, and he can expose all this darkness. Isn't it true that it was Abraham's seed who went down into Egypt when Jacob went down with all his family? And after a given time down there, isn't it true it was their descendants who were in bondage down in Egypt? Can you imagine those that were in Egypt, working there as slaves under Pharaoh, under the lash of the taskmaster, saying, "We are Abraham's seed, and we are not slaves, we are not in bondage to anyone"? It wouldn't work out. The fact of the matter is, they were in bondage, and God had to come out and deliver them. Now then, on this occasion, these people are saying, "We are Abraham's seed, we never were in bondage to any man." Now the Lord Jesus Christ shows a simple principle here. He said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And it's obvious that these people had been committing sin. And as long as they continued in sin, they were the servants of sin. In plain words, they were in bondage to sin. And they did require to be made free. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you become my disciples, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth and you will enjoy freedom. Freedom from sin That's exactly what we need, isn't it, my friend? We need this freedom. Now, he introduces something else here. In verse 36, it's the freedom that comes in here, which is true freedom. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my words have no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now look at that first if now in verse 36. If, the if of true freedom. He who is held by sin is in bondage to sin. The difference between a son and a servant in the house, that is what is set forth here. After all, a servant may be in the house, but he's still a servant. And the idea here is not simply one who has offered himself to serve, it's one who is in bondage as a slave. The slave or the servant abideth not in the house forever, for the son abideth ever. You see, the son is in the house in a different relationship, as we shall see in a moment or two. He who is held by sin is in bondage to sin, and therefore he needs to be made free. So therefore notice the difference between a son and a servant in the house. The son has freedom. He can go in and out because he is a son. But the servant is in the house to serve. It's the difference between the two fathers and the two families. But now that leads on to verse 39. In verse 39, you have the reply of the Jews to this truth. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. The fact of the matter is, if you come down to it, Adam was their father. For we have all come from Adam. And if we're born into the human race, we're descended from Adam. It's perfectly true that Abraham was used of God like a new spearhead, and from him they developed a new nation. In fact, they developed many nations. And these folks here are forgetting that they had come from Adam. And by nature, they were the sons of Adam and sinners. But they're claiming now that they were the sons of Abraham. But there's something else they've forgot. They have forgot that they're the sons of their father, the devil, and his works they would do. Now, in reply to what they've said, verse 39 introduces another if. Right in the middle there of that verse, Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Now watch this for a moment. Here is the if thou of spiritual relationship. Relationship after the flesh is valueless unless there is a relationship of the spirit. The child will usually display the features of the true parent. If you are Abraham's children, you will be conformed to his character and you will imitate his conduct. Abraham didn't reject the truth of God, for the scriptures distinctly say that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was the father of all that believe. See, Abraham accepted the truth. But he's saying to these people here, but you are seeking to kill me because I tell you the truth. Abraham wouldn't do that. And so if they were really Abraham's children, they would be doing the same works as Abraham. But the Lord is pointing out to them here that they cannot be Abraham's children in truth. Oh, they may be Abraham's descendants according to the flesh, but they're not Abraham's children according to faith. He says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. My friend, listen. Here I suggest to you is the sin of these people. Do you see the aspersions they're casting upon the pure character of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought of what people will say about Christ? Remember, he was born in absolute purity, born of a virgin. He lived in absolute purity. There was never a blemish, never a stain on his character. But these people, when they're brought face to face with the challenge of truth, when the Lord says to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you cannot be Abraham's children by faith, for you're doing the very opposite. You're seeking to kill me, which means you do the deeds of your father. And remember this, they were doing the deeds of their father, the devil. They were sinners, and the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And so they are imitating him as they conduct their lives in sin. Yet they turn round and they throw the aspersion on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God, in plain words. They are seeking to say that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of fornication. Oh, my friend, what blasphemy. Yet isn't it true that people today are speaking in the same blasphemous way about the Lord? They throw aspersions on his spotless character. Verse 41, when the Lord says, ye do the deeds of your father. Oh, they resisted that. And they resist the challenge that he lays before them. And the Lord Jesus has an answer to them in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father. You see, they make that claim. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Here I suggest to you is the if of spiritual sonship. The Lord Jesus states plainly the features of the two families. There is the heart of love, or the hatred of lust. There is the mind to understand, or the desire to kill. There is the ear to listen to truth, or the desire to listen and believe a lie. They are informed in no uncertain manner regarding their family tree. In the days in which we live, a great number of people have become very interested in their roots, as they call them. They want to know who their grandfather was. Who their great-grandfather was. They want to trace back the roots to see where they came from. That's fine, my friend. Carry on. Go back far enough. You'll find you came from sinful Adam. We're all born of Adam's lost and ruined race. But let me say this very clearly. You only require to watch a man's manner of life, and you'll get to know his family history. His true family history. I mean, the spiritual family history. You see, either we are under the headship of Adam, or we're under the headship of Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ lays down here a very simple principle. If God were your father, it's the if of spiritual sonship. If God were your father, you would love me. Have you ever thought of the number of people who week by week, and some of them day by day, they like to recite these words, Our Father, which art in heaven? There's nothing wrong with the words, for it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who said, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. But my friend, there's a lot of people use these words, and they use them out of place. How can you possibly address God as your father if you have never been born again into his family? I must say this and say it very plainly and firmly. I do not believe or accept this false teaching that is abroad today, which is called the universal fatherhood of God. I do not accept that. Neither do I accept the companion truth to that or the companion teaching to that, which speaks of the brotherhood of man. But I do believe in the fatherhood of God for all who have been born by the Holy Spirit into His family. They can say, Our Father. And I do believe in the brotherhood of all those who have been born into God's family by the Holy Spirit. They are brothers in the family of heaven. Here then is the spiritual sonship. He said, If God were your Father, there would be something to show in your life, something to prove it, ye would love me. See, after all, God is love. And if we've been born again of the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love, then, of course, we would demonstrate that love and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is love. If God were your Father, ye would love me. Oh, it's so easy to rise and sing, Lord Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. I ask you, my friend, do you have that love in your heart for the Lord? Or is there still the hatred of lust? These people were not in a position to understand. He says, Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. See, they didn't have the ear to listen in the first place. And because they didn't have the ear to listen, they didn't have the mind to understand. And the Lord Jesus Christ is laying this indictment before them. It's obvious that they were not born into that family. But then, as you read it, verse 44, he says, Ye are of your father the devil. He comes out clear and tells them there the family history and the roots. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, isn't that a strange thing? How some people will refuse to believe the truth, but they're ready to believe the lie. Now, look at verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here is the if of responsibility. The charge was read out against them. The challenge was issued and their reply was requested. The conclusion of the case was announced, Ye are not of God, at the end of verse 47, because ye are not of God. Now look at verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Here is the if of certainty. The closing verses reach a great climax, in which the Lord Jesus introduces two classic truths with the formula, Verily, verily. There he sets forth the eternal security of all who keep his word, and the eternal existence of his own person, when he says, I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. That is, he'll never see the second death. For the simple reason, he'll be the possessor of eternal life. My friend, I ask you now, have you accepted Jesus Christ? Are you one of his true disciples? Verse 31, the if of true discipleship. Verse 36, the if of true freedom. Verse 39, the if of spiritual relationship. Verse 42, the if of spiritual sonship. Verse 46, the if of responsibility. Verse 51, the if of certainty.